This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 195.
Nope.
What?
What was that? Yellow?
I just said yellow.
Are you Cajun? See, even the cat turned around and walked away. She
if
was
I
like,
was Cajun, you'd be like, yellow, everyone. Welcome to episode number 105. Wait, 195.
See, it was pretty close.
Of what did you watch this week?
She came out here and then was just like, nope.
Well, she's a fine cat.
So. So, Mike?
Yes, John?
Did you watch stuff this week?
Not much.
No?
I mean...
I consumed a lot.
I didn't actually watch much.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. My schooling started up again last night, today, so I really need to look at that and do some work there. But, I didn't watch much at all.
That's unfortunate.
I watched a couple movies, but one of them was an old movie, The Spitfire Girl from, was it, 896, I think?
Wow. Yeah, I still never watched that.
It's pretty good. It takes place in Maine. Yeah. It takes place in Gilead, Maine, which is over right on the New Hampshire border between Bethel and New Hampshire.
So pretty much New Hampshire.
Yeah. So, had a very young, was it Marsha Gay Harden in it?
Oh, wow.
Odd, like, kind of odd she was so young. And Will Patton's in it. So, and there's another fellow that's in it that I can't think of his name, but, like, if you saw him, be like, oh, yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, was it worth the watch?
Yeah, I'd seen it years and years and years and years and years and years and years ago, I think, when it first came out when I was at Movie Gallery. Well, when it first came out, I rented it at Movie Gallery because it took place in Maine.
And because you got it for free.
Mm. No, this is before I worked there.
Oh.
This is when it first came out. And I just figured Kate would like it because the old lady in it's got a bunch of piss and vinegar in it. And
that's what she looks for in a movie? She's like, find me something where an old lady has piss and vinegar?
Nah, not necessarily, but she does get a kick out of it. So
Ellen Burstyn was in it.
Yep.
Kieran Mulroney. No. Gallard Sartain. Nope.
Yeah, it's a low-budget flick. It was made for like 35 grand or something like that.
And then they don't have pictures of most of the other people, so.
Yeah. Hmm. What about you? What'd you watch?
I consumed a lot of television, but I didn't necessarily, like, I finished season 2 of The Punisher.
Nice.
That was a season.
Yeah, it was.
It had some good parts. I liked the relationship that he developed with Amy.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. But, you know, I didn't find myself at the end of it being like, damn it, I wish they'd come back for more. You know, they gave us the obligatory cliffhanger type thing where he, you know, once again dons the outfit and shows up to those drug dealers and says, I'll dance with you, and then starts shooting and, you know, cut to credits and it's all over. I did like the, I don't know if you'd call it a torture pit, but basically the ambush that they brought him into with the strobe lights. Well, it wasn't even strobe lights, but they'd like turn the lights on for like 5 seconds and blast rock music and then turn them off again.
Yeah.
And he kept getting cut, and they didn't really explain how those people like were getting around in the dark. They didn't have night vision, and the light would have fucked up their night vision anyway. So it was a little bit odd, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Watching him, you know, just get annihilated and then,
right,
of course, Hulk out, you know, do the Hulk Hogan, and then come back. And boy, John Barenthal did a lot of grunting in this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the get your dog. So like, I saw this and like, get your dog on a leash.
Yeah. But it was enjoyable. It was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I
would enjoy a third season. I never watched this full, was it second season of Jessica Jones?
Third season.
Okay, I never watched the full third season of Jessica Jones. I don't know if I will.
I don't either. I remembered at the end. I was like, oh, yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah.
I think the killer for me was when they canceled Iron Fist. And I really liked
right after how awesome it was. Yeah, good. Yeah. They canceled Daredevil and everything else.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I also binged all of Medical Cops on Netflix.
Any worth watching?
Not for you. Okay, you wouldn't like it. Because it's not a full-on Naked Gun kind of thing, but it has some moments like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely more highbrow humor than just straight-up slapstick. But essentially, it's a spin-off of the Adult Swim show Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
To the point where, A, it starts as an episode of Children's Hospital. They're each half an hour long, and they actually get in, like, the F-bombs. They drop fuck and fuck and fuck a lot. So it starts as an episode of Children's Hospital and then branches off for these two characters. And then it's 10 episodes long. They're about 25 minutes each.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. I liked the humor in it. Some of it was a little groan-worthy ridiculous, but, you know, if you're a fan out there who likes Children's Hospital or
you probably like
NTSVSUVSD, yeah, it was another show like that where it was just a bunch of acronyms. Yeah, you'll like this. It was fun. And they left it open for another season, which I'm assuming they will have. And then I watched some shows that we watched, I assume you watched the certain ones for this week, such as you and episode 6 of The Witcher and Superstore. And
well, I've already watched all of The Witcher.
Okay. I didn't know if you had.
I had finished it.
Gotcha.
I did watch episode 2 of You. I did watch Perfect Harmony.
Okay.
I did watch Stumptown and Superstore and The Good Place and Doctor Who. Did you watch Doctor Who?
I did.
Okay, yeah. But I just want to start off by saying that we watched the steaming pile of garbage that is Manifest Season 2, Episode 1.
Yeah, we just got done that.
Yeah. We popped some corn. We sat down. We watched the show. And still sucks.
Oh, it sucks even more now. The kid's more punchable. Yeah. He's such a little twat.
Yeah.
God. And now he's like trying to have like a stylish haircut and wear like these old man sweaters. And God, just want to punch him.
Such a little punk. They apparently got some more budget. So now when everyone has a calling, it's now looks like it's a mini earthquake going on.
Yeah.
The camera gets an iris and everything shakes and people like seize a little and then it's.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of garbage is what it comes down to. So do you think we're going to continue to watch Manifest?
I don't know, man. It's a hard sell. Like, it'd be one thing. We'll see. You know, I feel like it'd be one thing if this was meant to be bad, but the fact that it's actually, like.
NBC's really banking on it being
bad. Yeah, and I don't know. I'd have to look into it, and I don't really care to look into it, but, you know, it's possible that by us watching it on Hulu, we're actually boosting ratings. So we're almost like rewarding bad behavior, if that's the case. If it's not, and they're like, no, it only depends on, you know, if you watch it live, then
it's not worth pirating either.
Oh, God, no. Jesus. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Like, risking going to jail over something like that?
No and no.
You deserve to be committed.
Stumptown. Reality checks don't bounce.
So, I know we've talked about this before, but I have to commend this show for their commitment to, like, okay, Manifest. We got to see the tail end of what happened at the last season finale, and then, you know, they did the little 2 months later so that we could kind of wrap everything up. Stumptown's just like, no, this happened last week. We've been gone for, like, 3 weeks, but, you know, this is still what's going on. Like, not a lot of time passes in Stumptown. Or the normal amount, I guess you'd say.
Right.
So what you think?
It was okay.
Yeah. Ansel really wants to move out, and Dex basically doesn't want him to because she doesn't want to be alone. You know, for big, tough Dex who don't need nobody, she's scared to be alone.
Oh, tremendously, yeah.
And so when he wants to move out, it's less about her being worried that he can't take care of himself and more about her just like, I don't want to have this whole place to myself.
Right.
I need somebody to depend on me so that I feel like I'm a human being.
Or maybe, yes, yes. I was about to say, depend on me so I feel like, yeah, that's... I was saying more, I think maybe what keeps her in line or keeps her in check is the fact that she, I got to keep it together for my brother.
Right. Right.
So this is her keeping it together. So imagine it would be like her not keeping it together for her brother.
True. I thought that the cold open was kind of funny. I didn't realize that it was going to stick through the whole episode. You know, she's on one of these reality shows like Judge Judy.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It was a legitimate case. Like, right. This woman hired her to find her cat, and then she found the cat. The woman's like, it's not my cat. And they show two pictures, and he's like, so you think that she found another three-legged cat that looks just like your cat?
Well, I love that she goes like, well, if you notice, the cat is a very distinguishing feature. Oh, you mean the fact that it has three legs? Yeah, I thought that was excellent.
Like, they come right out of the cold opening, and the judge calls her backstage, and he's like, hey, I need you to do me a solid. Like, yeah. I want to hire you to go find my deadbeat brother. He was supposed to take care of my mom. He's gone.
He sold the whole house out from underneath her.
So, of course, we have to have that parallel story, you know? Brothers feuding at the same time that Ansel wants to move out. So you got the brother-sister thing.
That way she can get some clarity on what's happening with her brother.
Right, right.
What's happening with these brothers.
That's right.
She wants to create. Yeah. Treat them.
Treat
them.
Love it.
It wasn't bad.
It was okay.
Yeah. Perfect Harmony was pretty good.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Stumptown real quick.
Yeah.
I feel like they really need to do something so they get renewed.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't think, like, we get a lot of standalone episodes. The overarching storylines don't seem to last very long.
Nope.
It's almost like they think, well, we might get canceled any minute, so we just want to make sure we wrap things up well and people don't get mad at us and don't want cliffhangers.
So it's essentially a relationship where you got one foot out the door because you're pretty sure you'll be dumped at some point.
Yeah, it's almost like they're making this show thinking, oh, we're not going to make it more than a season.
I can see that.
So it's like they really need to do something to – because, I mean, the ratings are – I mean, I guess the ratings are good. They're like 2.8s and whatnot, but I mean
– like, where's Donald Logue? I liked having him around.
I did too.
And now it's just like he's gone and she's a full PI. And
doesn't it already feel like they've covered enough stories that it's more than 10 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think part of that, too, is the fact that, again, not a lot of time passes. You know, week to week, we've gone like one day in the lives of these people. So it's very dense.
Yeah.
But yeah, Perfect Harmony was good.
Cool.
A child's talent show. So Cash Jr. was there.
Nice. Yeah.
And there's the whole pregnancy scare thing that they're going through. They finally resolve that in this episode. So,
well, I do look forward to watching it.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't watch it.
Did you watch Superstore?
I fucking hated this episode.
God, I hated this episode.
Oh my God, I hated this episode so much. I almost didn't want to watch it. And you know how terrible Amy's character has been lately?
I was just going to say this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, this episode was directed by Amy, or America Ferrara, so it's almost like, oh, she's brought the terribleness of her character into this episode and made the whole episode her.
The fact that Amy as a character was the least annoying this episode says volumes.
Yeah.
Because she was behind the camera the whole time.
I hated this episode.
Jonah. Jesus Christ. She's like, okay, I can't be on camera as much this week, so Jonah, you're going to be the new Amy.
Yeah.
And we're going to make you absolutely neurotic and have to have a... And then the whole, you know, men's rights and Jesus. This was a bit of a disappointing week for a number of things.
I just didn't care for this episode whatsoever.
Yeah. Let's move on.
The Good Place was good.
Yep. They're wrapping things up nicely.
But... I actually feel like they really dragged it out longer. Like, for a 22-minute episode, it's almost like this could have been done in 5 minutes.
Fair enough. Basically, the judge is still looking for the clicker.
Yeah.
So she's marbleizing all the Janets. The evil Janets were fun, you know. Hold on, I got to tell you one thing. And then just like the longest fart in the world. Or the one that gets marbleized and still farts a bit. She's like, wow, she's committed.
Yeah.
Best part of this episode. I don't think you would disagree with me.
What?
Timothy Olyphant.
Oh, fuck yeah.
When she made it, she's like, you made me an Olyphant? Yeah. And he's in the Justified hat, and he's, like, talking as his Justified. Now, hold on. I want to see if I can understand this.
Yeah.
They're just like, isn't he great?
Whose side are you on? Oh, I ain't got a horse in this race.
I fucking love Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah.
It made me sad to think that Santa Clarita Diet has been canceled.
Oh, you gotta remind me.
But holy crap, just seeing him on there and the fact that they got him to come on as himself.
Yep.
Pure genius. But basically, but
well, it's almost like as himself as his character from Justified.
Yes. So they basically have come up with a new plan, a new system that they're going to do where they said that life is the test run. And then when you get to the afterlife, they're going to give you some kind of test, some moral choice. You know, like they said, you know, you're in the good place, but you know you're supposed to be in the bad place and see how you react. And at the end of it,
yeah,
if you fail, then they tell you what happened. And you kind of get like a little inkling to stick with you, but you get rebooted.
Yeah, you have to do it again. And you have like a little voice inside your head to help you along the way.
And you see if people actually do get better or worse.
And you get rebooted again and again and again until you pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the good place.
Yep.
That makes the bad place null and void?
No, because if somebody, I think that they said if somebody keeps getting rebooted and they refuse to learn, they refuse to grow, then they're just shipped out of the bad place.
Yeah.
And plus, some of them are being tortured.
They kind of came up with so many different,
yeah,
different synopsises. It's almost kind of like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I like the first one where if you have negative points, you went to the bad place. If you have like a million plus points, you went to the good place. And otherwise, you went to the middle place.
But then the points are all skewed because life keeps changing. Yeah. What's his name? The guy from The Bad Place? I want to say like Steve or something.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean, yes. I love when they summoned him at one point. He's standing there with a match and he goes, oh, I just got all the puppies in there. Oh, well.
I just got all the puppies to climb into the cannon.
That's right.
Wait, what about flattening penises? We're not going to do that. We're not. Am I the only one hearing this? Yeah.
So basically, they got him to agree to it, and the judge is like, all right, so what's step one? And they all looked at Chidi, and he's like, I don't know.
I'm just the idea guy.
Yeah, but he was their proof because they basically said he's got, what, like 800 versions of himself?
8,000 or something.
And he's become a better person as a result. So they proved that people can get better.
Right.
And Sean just wants to be able to torture people because, like they told him, they're like, it'll be 2 billion years before you get to torture anybody if Earth gets destroyed. So, you know, have fun kicking around doing nothing.
Show's wrapping up. I got 3 more episodes.
Yeah.
And then I was just reading that they're going to have a special hosted by Seth Meyers that's going to follow the extended series finale with interviews from the cast.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. See, I would watch that because
I would watch that too.
I've enjoyed the show all along and it's coming to an end.
Well, I say 3 episodes. There's 4 episodes left. The final episode's a double episode. So there's only 3 more weeks of show.
So is that bonus thing with Seth Meyers going to be after?
Yes, it's after the extended series finale.
Okay.
So there's like the 16th, 23rd, and 30th of the next 3 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely all for that.
I'm down for that.
Like, I don't always do, you know, special bonus or after shows.
Right, me neither.
Because I got kind of sick and tired of the Talking Dead, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think after shows are just a little pretentious at times. But that one, I think that would be a good send-off.
I do enjoy the fact that they've looked at this show and they said, okay, we're doing these 4 seasons, that's it. We're not going to try to, even if the ratings are great, we're not going to try and stretch another season out of this. We've told our story.
Exactly.
You know?
Same thing with Mr. Robot. You know, he was like, this is the story that I want to tell. That's it.
Because far too often, and I know we're both going to say Supernatural and Scrubs and whatnot, but like, they tell the story longer than they should. And it's sometimes going to be very hard for that show to pull out of it.
Giggity. I watched a new show this week.
What'd you watch?
I watched Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
We watched it as well.
Okay.
And there's no new episodes until February.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah, it was almost like a teaser week.
Yeah.
So my overall thought on this was by the time the episode ended, I loved it. In the beginning, I was not sold. Like, if I had stopped, like, 20 minutes in when people were singing Help on the streets, I would have been like, the fuck is the point of this?
first of all, I thought it was going to be a half-hour show. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was 45 minutes surprised me.
Yep.
But I honestly didn't notice it. It wasn't until it was over I went, oh, crap, that was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I felt the same exact way. To me, I commented this to Nick when he talked about watching it on Twitter, was show started out real slow for me, but I dug it by the end. My wife and I also, because she watched with me, she liked it as well. And she also commented, we commented together, if you will, that I like the fact that they're not professional singers. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of like, you know, on Glee, everyone sang like, yes, you know.
Because they were all amazingly singers.
Which is fine.
The only one is the guy who has a crush on her. He is a singer.
Yes, and I'm sure we're going to get some good singers guest starring from time to time, yeah, or whatever, but
I have a feeling her neighbor probably is a singer. But
probably, yeah. But like,
Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher. Clearly, he is not a singer. But I like the fact that we're having people that aren't singers.
Right.
The douchebag in The Office.
Oh, my God, yes.
He's clearly not a singer, yeah, but still. And I don't know. We really dug it. We dug some of the singing. And I'm not going to lie, and it happened to Kate as well, when Peter Gallagher started singing.
Oh, God.
Oh, we both had some leaky eyes.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny. I went to talk to my sister about it, and she was on that part right there.
Yeah.
And she paused it, and I was like, you know what? This is the moment that sold me on this show.
Yeah, same here.
Like, 100%. Yeah. She's like, she's sitting there, and her eyes are welling up, and she's like, I know, it's so good.
Yeah.
So the concept of the show, basically, is this girl, Zoe, she has a shit life. It's not a shit life as in, like, she's living on the streets, but, you know, she's kind of in this job where she's just a cog, and she,
no, actually, I would disagree with that. She's not a cog. She's like the best programmer they have.
Well, she says she's the best programmer that they have.
And I think everyone there thinks she is, but what I think it is she's one of those people that lacks the self-confidence,
yes,
to promote herself, to put herself over, yep, doesn't take the credit when she should.
Well, she even said at one point in the episode, yeah, she's like, I like just being a programmer.
Right. So I think that's her key. And I think her key thing is she completely and totally lacks self-confidence.
Yes. Yep.
In every aspect of her life. And so she just wants to kind of stay hidden in the background and just get by and do her own thing, and that's it.
Yep.
And that's how I view her.
So she has a father, Peter Gallagher,
yeah,
and her mother is Mary Steenburgen, so they really went all out for the,
oh, yeah,
the stars. But her dad, you know, you see these pictures of him like running a marathon and fishing with her and sailing, and he's not a full vegetable.
He has progressive supernuclear palsy, which, yes, is a rare neurological disease.
And it basically means that he can swallow soup, but he can't really chew.
Yeah.
He can't move his hands. He can't talk. He just kind of sits there staring ahead.
His body's just slowly dying.
Yeah.
He's slowly forgetting how to do things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's kind of trapped in there.
Yeah.
So she's been getting headaches, and, you know, her mother's like, well, do you think it's your dad's thing? You know, just go get an MRI.
Yeah.
So she does go get an MRI, and the guy tells her he's going to play some music, and he's got this playlist brought up, awesome, yeah, MRI music.
Yeah.
And an earthquake hits, and you see all these different playlists pop.
Yeah.
And then everything shorts out, and now when she sees people, they burst into song, and this was where it was weird at first.
Yeah.
Like you had the three women who all saw the guy, and they were doing the what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is cheesy.
Yeah.
And then she sees one guy on the street who starts singing Help by the Beatles.
Yeah.
But then, like, everybody else is singing the song as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, see, I didn't know.
And I'm like, what the hell? But it's supposed to be like she's hearing in song their innermost thoughts and,
yes,
feelings. Not necessarily that they're saying Help, but that they're kind of the world is shit and they're depressed. And
only she can see these. And sometimes we have big dramatic dance numbers as well.
Yes.
We got
the Jerk in the Office dance number.
What song did he sing?
What was that?
That is a walkie-talkie that someone left on.
Oh, okay. All I do is win, win,
yes,
win,
yes,
no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind all my money and I can never get enough.
There's a guy in the office that, Simon is the character's name that, yep, that Zoe has a crush on. And they're working late to try and figure out this bug and this new watch they have and this and that.
Because it's showing everybody's blood pressure is 50 over 20.
Right.
They're like, they're dead.
I like that person who goes, so is that low? And Lauren's like, well, if you're dead, it's not. You know? But
yes, Lauren Graham is the boss, and she's, yes, kind of got a little cat.
Yeah, and Kate's comment was, wow, she's aged.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but the guy in the office, they're working late.
Yeah, and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden she doesn't. People don't sing all the time, but it's almost like when they're in the deepest despair or most arrogance or something. I don't know, but he starts singing "Mad World."
Yeah, and again, not a singer,
and it is haunting because it's an a cappella version. There's no musical accompaniment, like with "Help," "What a Man," like with all these songs. We got musical accompaniment, and her neighbor is like this loud DJ who likes to smoke pot, and she's loves music and plays it and sings it real loud and this and that and everything. And so at one point Zoe went and talked to her and said, "Hey, this is what's happening to me. Does this seem odd to you?" And her friends, her neighbors, like, "I'm too high to tell you if this is, you know, if this is wrong or not.
Yeah.
But let me know if it happens again, because maybe you're hearing people's thoughts or something like that." And then he sings this very haunting version of "Mad World." Mm-hmm. And it really, it is a good song, but it is a hauntingly depressing song.
Yeah.
And especially the way he sang it. And I got a little emotional about it.
Oh, yeah.
My wife did, too. And
then you find out the story behind it. And it's even...
Yeah.
You know?
And then when she went and found that neighbor who was DJing, and she's like, "It happened again. What would the guy sing? Mad World. Oh, he's got problems." Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think it's called "Mad World." But
yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
I did, too. Yeah. The musical numbers, again, they're not Glee. They're not over-the-top, like, Broadway productions. The closest that you get are, like, the guys who are in the office. And by that, I mean, like, the jerk in the office who does that, you know, "All I Do Is Win," which was great because he's basically sitting there, like, telling her, "Oh, I feel for you. Oh, I hope the best person wins." And then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, and I just got one more thing to tell you." And then him and all of his boys burst into this.
"All I do is win.
Yeah. I mean, they're, like, they got the slamming their laptops around and stuff. And then, you know, the guy who is a professional.
Her best friend who has a crush on her.
Sings "I Think I Love You."
Yeah. "So what am I so afraid of?" It was excellent.
But, yeah, the Peter Gallagher, it broke me. It was – and, again, it's because this show has some comedic elements, but more than anything, it's a heart-wrencher. You know, this is – she's not glamorous. She's not – even though she is the best coder that they have, she is not like Power Girl. She's not walking around and they're like, "I'm the coolest shit." And she doesn't have a great expensive apartment. And her life is not phenomenal and one big ride. She doesn't have a lot of friends that we've seen. You know, she has her neighbor that doesn't even like her. And she says, you know, "This is the most interested I've ever been in anything that you've done in your life."
Yep.
A lot of it just comes down to the human moments. And, man.
I'm trying to remember what her dad sang because I'm trying to look it up.
Right, True Colors.
True Colors. Thank you. It was good.
Oh, yeah. Even though he can't sing.
No, but.
But then she says,
she was standing there looking in the picture of him on the sailboat, and all of a sudden you see him pop in the frame behind her.
Yeah.
And he starts singing. I was done.
Oh, yeah.
I was done.
But I knew he was going to have to get up and start singing. And then when he did, and I mean, she's got like the tears coming out of her eyes because, you know, he's shut in and she actually has a way to communicate with him.
Well, when they showed them, when she showed up at his house and she's sitting on the couch with him, I went to Kay and went, "Oh, shit." She goes, "What?" And I go, "Oh, he's going to sing. You know he is. And I'm going to be done." She goes, "Oh, yeah, me too."
And her brother's a bit of a dick about it. He's not like a complete asshole, but you know, she'll be like, "Oh, could we crack a window?" And he's like, "Yeah, and let Dad get pneumonia. That's what we need. Yeah, let's try to kill him faster, Zoe."
Both mom and dad, both mom and older brother are being super overprotective. Basically like, "Well, he's dead already. We're just waiting for it to happen."
Right. But we've got to make him comfortable and protect him from everything else. Right. And Zoe, by the end, because of that singing, she's like, "We need to get him out on the boat."
Yeah.
It was his favorite time. He needs to be out there and living his life while he can. And sure enough, he actually reaches over and grabs mom's hand and she loses it.
Oh, yeah, man. Just hug it a little bit. But she's basically like, when mom and brother go to like say, "We can't do that," she's like, "No, this is happening."
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
The only thing you need to do is clear your Sunday and bring a coat.
I hope that the show stays like this. I hope wasn't pilot. Yeah. And then they go like a comedic route. Although they did have the preview. They're like, you know, coming up this season on. And it looked like the same kind of stuff. The very last scene is she looks at her neighbor and she's like, "Hey, you just sang to me." And she's like, "Oh, shit."
I like that she told someone because it's better that way.
Yep.
She can't tell everyone, obviously.
No.
But I think if they have good storylines, I think it could work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because basically the guy that she heard singing Mad World, she actually connected with him. Like, yes, she had a crush on him, and yeah, we got the whole thing where she, like, had, again, an emotional breakdown,
yeah,
when she found out that he was engaged. But he never led her on. He was never like, no, no, we should date or anything. So this
he never said that. He just, she basically was like, oh, so do you have something, like, she opened up, so then he opened up.
Yeah, she said that her dad had this neurological thing, and he was basically dying, and he was like, wow, well, you should still treasure that because, you know, my dad killed himself last year,
like, yeah,
out of the blue. No, was it last month?
It was like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
A few months back. Yeah, 4 or 5 months ago.
You know, he killed himself. He's like, and I never get to see him again. And this picture is all that I have of him.
Yeah.
I remember him by it. You know, just treasure it. And so there are a lot of emotional moments in this, yeah, show.
And, but again, I didn't get any point where he was hitting on her or leading, nope, her on. There was nothing that, to me, led it to believe that he'd have to say, oh, by the way, I'm engaged.
Right.
Because it just...
Exactly, and that's why her...
They didn't kiss or...
Crying was even more believable because she felt like a fool. She was like, yes, oh, I was trying to read into this, and he had no intention whatsoever.
Yep.
But, you know, he wants to connect with her now because, you know, he said that he talked to his fiance. He opened up to her. He hadn't opened up to anybody until Zoe, and then he opened up to his fiance, and she... He goes, you know, she said she's there for me, but she's never experienced this, so she doesn't get it. Like, right, it's not a bad thing, but she just... She can't know what this is like. So
no, she really,
it's not the same kind of support that I can get from you.
Yeah, which is true.
Yep. Ah, good show.
Oh, and when his fiance showed up, there was in the alcohol, like, oh, this is my fiance and this is my coworker. It was like, oh, hey, this is my fiance.
Yeah.
Like, he was excited for her to meet her.
Yeah. And yeah, this is a cool girl from my office.
Oh. Yeah. So.
Yep.
And the fiance wasn't on Kiss Kate's one that said this. She's like, I'm glad the fiance was like, who is that? Like, her fiance wasn't reading into, oh, are you cheating on me with this girl? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, he didn't convince you to buy more of that cheesecake, did he?
Right. Cheesequake.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched the episode that we watched it,
yeah,
myself. And really, the only other thing I watched is I watched one movie, and I watched The Good Place. Obviously, you and Witcher we're going to talk about, but I forget that. Yeah, I already watched.
You meant Doctor Who, not The Good Place, because we already talked about
that. That's what I meant. Well, I was deleting my note from The Good Place. Yes, Doctor Who.
Well, I watched another new show this week.
Yeah.
Which you probably didn't. However, I will say this. And I can't remember the name of it. The new one with Hugh Laurie on the spaceship.
Yeah.
Avenue 5 or something.
Something like that. That's on HBO, right?
Comes this Sunday.
Oh.
But the one that I watched because I saw that preview was The Outsider, the Stephen King adaptation.
Oh.
That's on HBO. And they had the first two episodes. I've only watched the first one.
I might wait till this summer and get a month of HBO so I can watch Westworld, The Outsider, and this. Because I'm not – I know we're news now. Westworld returns in March. But
oh, yeah.
I'm going to wait for all the episodes to be up before I watch them, just so you know.
Now, think about it this way. I just want to put this into a context, sure, for you. Okay, so let's talk HBO.
Yeah.
What is it, $15 a month?
Yeah.
Okay. So per week, that's about $3.
Sure.
It's less than a coffee.
I don't buy coffee anyways.
I know you don't, but
I'm sure you could come up
with something, you know, a 12-pack of soda.
I see what you're saying. I have to pay for Hulu now. My 3 years free is up. I got to pay for it again.
What's that? $11 a month?
It's money. That's what it comes down to.
And I know. And they do add up after a while.
No, it does. It's just...
It can be worth it
$15 $15 a month.
Is what I'm saying.
I know, but I'm just going to wait.
Okay.
I'll wait until they're all up there and I'll buy the 1 month and watch them all.
Well,
I know it's kind of disappointing because I liked watching Westworld at the same time as you.
Yeah.
If it was,
it would give us something to watch.
If it was even, if it was less than $10 a month, I would do it.
And I know we've tried it before with me giving you my code, but then it was like every week it kicked you off.
Yeah, it might not anymore since I bought my Roku TV. So if you want to try it again, we can try it again.
All right. We'll give it a try.
Because, which I would appreciate, because my,
you didn't hear that.
Yeah. I love that, we were watching, someone's like, hey, what's your HBO Go sign in or something like that? And I'm like, hold on. And there's like contact, this person's contacting this, like 10 different people to finally find out what the username and password was. No, since I've been signing in my mom's sign in stuff on History Channel and TNT and stuff, since I got the new TV, it doesn't kick me out anymore.
She doesn't have HBO?
Nope.
Why?
I don't,
Does she have HBO?
Her package doesn't have Vice TV.
Oh, I don't know what Vice TV is.
It's, well, Viceland. Okay. They do, but they have some, well, they did Abandoned, a documentary series I like a lot that I watched on Hulu. Gotcha. They did Dark Side of the Ring. They did The Rustlers. They've done a ton more than that.
Okay.
But they do a lot of, like, Urban Underground type stuff. It's actually, they do a lot of good documentary stuff.
Nice.
Anyhow, so how was...
The Outsider is good. I saw a headline today that said The Outsider lays out the human enemies before it gets into the supernatural. So again, they aired two episodes back to back. I only watched the first one, but essentially it was really cool watching the first part of, actually the whole first episode. It was really dark and gritty because it keeps being interspersed. First off, Ben Mendelsohn is the lead detective. Okay.
Okay.
A kid has been murdered. He's dead. He's been brutally murdered. So he's the lead detective, and it's interspersed between him interviewing witnesses and then seeing what's happening in real life. And essentially, he, right in the beginning, I'd say within the first 15, 20 minutes, he sends his guys over. He sends his cops over to arrest Jason Bateman's character at the baseball game that he's coaching, because he's a Little League coach. And he sends him over to arrest the character and basically tells them, you know, he's like, I want you two to go in there. I want you to arrest him in front of everybody, cuff him in front of everybody so they see it, drag him back here, and then bring him in front of me. And later on, he asks about that. He's like, you know, why did you do that? Why didn't you come down here? You know me. Why didn't you come down here yourself? And he goes, because after seeing what you did to that kid, I wasn't sure that I could be in front of you and not lay hands on you. And that would have been great for your lawyer. He would love that.
Wow.
Yeah. But essentially, there is an overwhelming amount of evidence that he did this. Like, they interview this little girl who watched him walk out of the woods with blood down his face, like he had been eating something.
Ugh.
And told her, you know, no, I got hit in the face with a branch. She's like, but I know better because, you know, when I got a bloody nose once, it was small and it just went to this part. But, you know, he was covered in blood. And just different people. There's security footage where he legitimately, like, stares right at the camera. Mm-hmm. And then puts his hand on the wall and flips off the camera. So they're saying, like, it's almost like he wanted us to catch him. There's an overwhelming 100%, like, every bit of evidence, except for the fact that his alibi is that he was at a business conference, or no, a teacher's conference, because he's a teacher. And so he was at a teacher's conference about banned books, and they have video footage of him asking a question in the class, and having them answer the question at the exact same time that the kid was being murdered a couple of states away.
Hmm.
So there's no way he could be there. And the prints completely match up. So it's got to be like a doppelganger kind of thing. It's got to be like some kind of creature that can take on your form.
Well, you know, I do like Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
And I do enjoy this. And so if I can use your credentials there,
yeah,
I'll watch this for sure.
Yeah, we'll try it out.
Yeah. You, season two?
You, season two, episode two.
Just talking about episode number two.
Yes, because that's all we've watched. Well, that's all I've watched so far.
That's all I've watched.
Good.
Yeah.
So we got an info dump in this episode. We got like five info dumps.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Like, if there were some unanswered questions in the first episode, they answered every one of them here. Like,
yeah.
They just, it was like a faucet. We found out that Joe took over Will's life because Will is a guy who is paranoid, neurotic, and does fake IDs.
Yeah.
And basically told Will, you know, I can get you something that's very basic, but if you want a finely crafted persona, you know, it takes years to develop. He goes, look at mine.
It took me 10 years to build this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who I am. I have no pictures of me out there, but my credit score is impeccable. My employment history is impeccable. Why, this is the perfect. And so Joe clubs him and takes him away. He talks about how it took him a couple of days to build the soundproof plastic container, and that if he had had Moody there to help him, it would have taken half as long, but that Will had to sit there and watch him the whole time. he gets sent on some wild goose chases. We find out that the guy who came looking for the real Will, they met on, as he says, what lay people might call the dark web. He's like, but I promised him some stuff, and then he was really shady, and so I canceled the meeting. He's like, but you didn't give him his money back? He's like, no. Well, how much do you owe him? Well, $3,000. So Will puts his skills to work, or sorry, Joe puts his skills to work and makes a fake old book that he thinks, you know, he can pass off. And sure enough, some gullible shopkeep out there pays him $3,000. So the guy, I love the guy, the hitman type guy who
Jasper.
I loved him. He was the quintessential California bad guy. You know, he's like, hey, Will Bettenheim, how's it going? I'm Jasper. What's up? Hey, man. So listen, and he's like, yeah, I got your money right here, and tosses it to him. He's like, oh, super. That's awesome. Thank you so much. You made this so easy. He's like, yeah, all $3,000. He goes, $3,000? Well, where's the other $47,000? Because it's $50,000. He goes, well, I mean, this is good to start, but you can have the rest of it today, right? I need it today. And he's like, yeah, I can have it today. He goes, great. Let me show you something over here. And he takes him over and he goes, yeah. And he Jasper grabs his hand, puts it down on a metal can, takes the knife out, and one smooth, clean motion just right at the last knuckle of the pinky, just cuts it right off and goes, oh, hold on a second. You're going to want to put pressure on that? Now, what was his name, like Dr. Simmons or something?
Yeah.
He's like, there's a guy at this hospital near here, Dr. Simmons. He is a great microsurgeon. He's amazing. You're going to want to get this to him within the next 10 to 12 hours. He'll put it back on, no loss of nerves or anything. It'll be awesome. But I'm going to hang on to it till you give me the rest of the money. I mean, he was just so pleasant about all of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I enjoyed his I enjoyed his character as well.
Yeah.
For the one episode we got him.
Yeah, because then so he goes back to Will, the real Will, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And Will's like, oh, well, whoops. And so he says,
yeah, I love it. Oops.
Yeah. So he tells him that this guy, Gregory, owes him, and he owes him 50 large, and just use the code name Battlestar, and he'll hook you up. So Will goes to a party happening at noon.
It's Hollywood.
No, it wasn't Gregory. What was it, like Gavin?
Yeah.
So he's looking around for him. And he keeps asking people, and they're like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And he can't find it. Chris D'Elia's character now shows up.
Yeah.
And we saw that when Joe first got to L.A., he saw him. He's some kind of, you know, celebrity. And it turns out that he's a comedian. And from the
Henderson.
Sounds of it, Henderson.
Famous comedian.
Yeah. People call him Hendy.
Yeah.
From the sounds of it, he's a real douchebag, if we're to believe his landlord.
Exactly.
You know, she basically got the Bill Cosby
treatment. Yeah, she got roofied and raped.
Yeah. And he refuses to take credit for it, but, you know, still comes up to her in the party, and he's like, hey, long time, you're looking great. And she's really pissed and creeped out.
Justifiably.
So when Joe finally finds this guy, Gavin or whatever, Devin, whatever, finds him. He's like in a room putting on some music. He goes, hey, come on in here. And he's like, I hope you don't mind this music. And he's like, yeah, I'm here about Battlestar. And he goes, oh, shit, man, I was about to give you a blowjob. So he tosses him the pills. And
sorry, but that's funny to me.
Oh, it was great because he's just like, oh, man, I was going to give you a blowjob. Oh, that's another guy. Hold on. So he tosses him this package and Joe's like, do you mind if I count it? And he goes, if you want to. And he opens it up and it's pills. And he's like, what about the 50,000? He goes, 50,000? Would you settle for the blowjob instead? So, yeah, they were basically mood stabilizers.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that the real Will has a bad case of bipolars.
Yeah.
And by the time he gets back to him, he's in an episode.
Yeah.
And won't take the pills. He's like, keep them away from me. They're mind control. So Joe has to come up with a way to crush them up and put them in his drink.
Yeah.
And then stabilizes him. And when Will finally comes out of it, he's like, he thanks him. You know, yeah. He's like, hey, thanks. I get like that sometimes. He's like, yeah, I still don't have the 50,000. So he basically brings Jasper there and he's like, this is the real Will Bettenheim.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you got him all tied up. You got him in like a cage. This is really cool. Yeah. How are you going to get the money out of him? And he's like, yeah, I'm not. and then he kills Jasper. Yep.
And he dismembers him, and he grinds him up in the kitchen there.
At first, I saw him grinding him up, and I'm like, dude, it's enough of a stretch that he rented a large enough storage unit to fit that glass case in
there. Right, right.
Now he's got a meat grinder, but it was the deli.
Restaurant, yeah.
Yeah. So I accepted that. But yeah, he grinds him all up, throws him in trash bags, throws him out the dumpster. You know that's going to come back on him.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, what was happening with Love?
Oh, she went out with her friends. Well, she had three friends, some book agent and her lesbian friend, and then Love's gay friend. Mm-hmm. And Will Joner went spying on them.
Of course he did.
Yeah, and then he got caught in a lie telling the Love, and she got all mad at him, and then they decided to be friends because he really felt he was going to hurt her.
Yeah.
So he is showing restraint, which is odd based on how the first episode ended, with him not showing restraint.
Of course.
Talking about a whole episode how he needs to show restraint, and then at the end we see how he wasn't at all.
I was going
to
say, you're saying that he's showing restraint.
Right, right.
For a guy who we just described how he went to all these lengths to pay back a guy.
Yeah.
And then ground him up in a meat grinder.
Yeah.
Piece by piece.
But
The lie that he got caught in was he said 40 sent him on a mission.
Yeah.
And she comes back. She's like, really? 40 said that? And then later on, she's like, he's been telling me everything since he was born. He's like, 40's your brother. She's like, yeah, twin brother.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah.
So he's fucked right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot the connection there.
Yeah. So, yeah, essentially they agree to be friends because you're right. He's like, I'm going to hurt you and, you know, I'm still not over her. And he says she gets it.
Yeah.
He actually likes her friends, you know, compared to Baxter. Oh, and that was the other thing.
Oh, he apologized to Beck for murdering Jasper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he sees her everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, they actually got the actress to come back, which is cool.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to see her.
Yep.
But yeah, but he, that's right. I forgot about that. But he apologizes to her for murdering Beck.
Yeah.
I mean, for murdering Jasper.
Yeah.
So he's got some issues.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he's got issues, but.
Oh, you know he's going to have a showdown with Chris D'Elia's character.
Oh, yeah.
Because then the landlord, like, she comes in. He tries to make peace with her because she was treating him kind of mean. And she basically, in not so nice of a way, tells him to fuck off.
Yeah.
She hates men, and you stay the fuck away from my sister. I think because of proximity, you know, she thinks that he's hanging out with Hendy, and she wants nothing to do with Hendy, and I don't blame her.
I don't blame her at all. I mean, he, like we said, drugged and raped her.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She was much more, like, neutral and almost nice in the first episode.
Yeah, she was in the first one compared to this one.
But she did say when she met up with him at the party that she had been chasing a story, and she basically hadn't slept in 2 days, so she was, like, wired.
And, yeah.
That's going to be interesting because I have a feeling the next time he's hanging out with her sister, she may have thoughts on that.
Probably, yeah.
I love this show.
No, it was a good episode. I
fucking love
it. I'm glad we're going to watch this one episode at a time.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? It gives me something to look forward to every week. And then the discussion is always good because it's one episode at a time. We can
Like Witcher, which I'm trying to remember now. What happened in episode 6?
Episode 6 was the one where they went on the dragon hunt.
Yes.
The king had sent out word that there was a dragon, a green dragon in the hills, and he wanted them to hunt it down.
Yes. And he, this guy, whatever his name was, he was like an old guy who had two young female bodyguards and wanted to go on one last adventure. And so he was hiring a bunch of people to go with him, including Geralt with Jasker. And, Yennefer was there with her knight boyfriend person that she was manipulating at this point in time.
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
I want to say entourage, but it wasn't. She called him her guide.
Yeah, but it was just the two of them. And then there was some reavers.
Yeah. Dwarves.
And dwarves.
Yeah.
And my favorite was the douchebag dwarf that, like, almost like he's got little man syndrome where...
Because all the rest of them were actual dwarfs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to beat everybody up. And And then he comes to Geralt and he's just like, nope, he pays respect to him. You know, how you doing, sir? Like, he respects him because of the fighter he is. And, you know, and then by default, he's nice to Jasker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which by the end of the episode, I really fell for him. But we'll get there. So, yeah.
Really fell for who?
The bard, Jasker.
Oh, yeah, me too, yeah.
So, hold on just a second. So, this was very interesting. episode, because again, it plays to the same theme that we've been seeing all along, which is that Geralt has a code and that Geralt is noble. And the guy even says it later on. Yeah, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But, you know, when he says, I wanted to bring along Geralt of Rivia, the Witcher who is trained to protect dragons, not kill them.
Right. Well, like, we've seen it in earlier episodes as well, where people are like, this person's cursed, he's not a monster, he's done nothing wrong, I'm not going to kill him just to kill him.
Right, exactly.
Whereas opposed to you have monsters who are actually being evil, where he will kill to kill.
Yes.
But we see it in this episode, too, when that creature kind of comes out of the woods that Jaskier accidentally finds, and he's trying to pick someone some berries.
Oh, the cat, yeah.
And the cat or whatever comes out, and it's kind of being threatening, but not really. And Geralt's like, he's not a threat, he's just hungry. Yeah. And the knight runs up and starts stabbing him and cuts his head off and just goes ape shit. And then you're like, for the glory of the king, and all that other horse shit.
And they're like, oh, we were being threatened. And Geralt's like, if you had fed him, he probably would have just gone on his way and we would have been fine.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about him.
Yeah.
Interesting point of fact here, while we're talking about The Witcher, Netflix just released an interactive map where you can type in locations or you can click on locations. Not only will it tell you about the place, it'll tell you who the people are that were involved. So here's something interesting. Geralt of Rivia was born in 1160.
Okay.
Okay. That episode right there, the dragon hunt, took place in 1262. So at that point, he's 102 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they say that they have unnaturally long life. He looks pretty good for a 102-year-old, wouldn't you say?
He does look very well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you can follow along the timeline of the show. I think I sent you the thing, too, where they had the timeline, which was really helpful.
It was very helpful, actually.
To make sense of it. Again, I never had a big problem with the timelines. I know that it was a bit confusing for some people, but whatever. So, yeah, basically most of this episode is them heading towards the dragon, you know, and them talking about, oh, there's all different kinds of dragons. And Geralt's like, no, there's green dragons, which are common. There's red dragons, which are rare. And there are black dragons, which are the rarest. And the guy's like, there's gold dragons. He's like, no. And it wasn't just that he was like, no, I've never seen one. He's like, in order for there to be a gold dragon, it would have to be like a mutation that was done by two dragons that meant to do this and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and in my experience, mutations are never accidental. They're always intentional.
Yeah.
He's like, so there's no gold dragons out there. Which, of course, you know, we would find out later.
Borch is actually a gold dragon.
Yes.
Yeah, so they wake up in the morning, and the knight is dead, and the reavers are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dwarves...
I like how they said, he's like, what kind of an animal slits a man's throat while he's relieving his bowels?
Yeah.
The guy's taking a dump, and they cut his throat.
Oh, and he had eaten, like, the meat of that cat after he killed it, and that's what made him sick and gave him his diarrhea.
Yeah.
The guy was a douche. I had felt no sympathy that he was dead.
No.
But,
of course, then, like, they're like, Geralt, did you kill him? He's like, no.
No.
And then he asks Yennefer, he's like, did you kill him? And she's like,
thanks for thinking so little of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the dwarves take them on a shortcut, which is across this very narrow, like, side of a cliff. And it's like, and he's like, wait a second, we can't go across here. Why not? Well, because we're not dwarves. It's made for, like, you guys. Ha, 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 ha. And the dwarves take off. And then I'm like, you should have spaced themselves out a little bit more when they all climbed on.
Yeah.
But they all start heading across, and then some of the boards break, and Borch and his bodyguards kind of fall, the two women, and then, of course, he falls to his death.
Right.
So now we have Yennefer and Jaskier and the dwarves and Geralt, and they're trying to get ahead of the reavers to get there. They spend the night again. And
this time Geralt and Yen spend the night together.
They do some of the sex.
Yep.
Her tent is almost like a TARDIS where it's bigger on the inside.
Exactly. And it has like the queen size bed. But they have a good talk where basically he tells her that, you know, she's important to him.
Yeah.
And he has feelings. And earlier they had been talking and he's like, every time I interact with you, I say more in 5 minutes than I have in like 5 years. And I instantly regret it. So he's essentially saying, you make me open up.
But also there's something that we're like, that third wish that he made kind of bound them together, we find out later.
Yeah.
And so now she's like, well, do I really feel this way towards you, or is it magic? Mm.
And she's assuming that no matter what, she shouldn't trust it.
Yeah.
She says that she wants to kill the dragon because there's legend that the heart of a freshly killed dragon will restore her body. Yeah. Now, here's where I have a problem with this. And I think it's a legitimate claim. She's saying, they took this from me. Well, yes, they told you this was the price of admission.
Right.
They literally said, just so you know, this has to come out. And she's like, I didn't have a choice. You certainly you did.
You could have said no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's like, they took it from me and I want it back. You gave it.
Right.
Like, it sucks that it's gone. But, you know, Geralt is, he's a bit of a dick about it, but it's still honest. You know, he's like, this is not the lifestyle for raising a child. What are you going to do? Like, go kill a king and then go nurse your baby?
Right. It's like when, I'm trying to give a good comparison. Oh, yeah. It's like when you, well, they say it's reversible, but it's like when you have a vasectomy, you're choosing to not have kids anymore.
Right.
And they say it's reversible. But say they get your tubes tied.
No, my guy told me, he's like, they say it's reversible. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Don't think that. Don't go into this thinking you're going to get out of it. No.
Yeah. No, no, no. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't let anyone cut into my scrotum ever again.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
Yeah, no, not for me, at least.
But yeah, so that's her whole big thing is, I want to be able to have a kid. I don't have the choice anymore. They took it from me. Well, no.
No, I don't have, I have a problem with that.
And then she asks Geralt, she's like, you know, do you regret becoming a Witcher? And he's like, it's hard to regret something you had no choice in, because I legitimately had no choice.
Exactly.
Like, his mother abandoned him with them and said, I don't want him. And he became a Witcher. They made him into a Witcher at Caer Morhen.
So the next morning he wakes up, she's gone.
Yep.
So he comes out and chases after her.
No, no, no. He and her both come out, and the dwarves are gone. And
oh, that's
she goes
right,
running,
that's
and he's
right.
like, oh, Yen.
They go after the dwarves. She casts a spell that kind of freezes them to make them so they walk in ultra, ultra slow motion.
Right.
And Yennefer and Geralt get up there to the entrance of the cave. They find the two bodyguards are alive still. Then they find out that the man there, the old guy, was actually a golden dragon.
The green dragon is dead.
But Egg is still viable and protected.
Yes. And that's, he heard the call and wanted to come and protect the Egg.
And the Reaver, okay. Are they Reavers? Is that what they're called? Yeah, the Reavers. So I have a hard time with that because it's Firefly Reavers.
Exactly.
So the Reavers show up and now we have the big fight scene.
Yes.
And
like he said, he's like, because you will protect dragons. And then they show up, and he doesn't even hesitate. He's just like, I will kill these motherfuckers.
Even Yennefer's like, I'm going to kill him too.
Yep.
Jaskar wakes up, and he goes, what are we guys doing? Are you not walking? What's going on? Like, when he catches up to the dwarves.
Are we queuing up for something?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Are we queuing up for something? And he starts walking through, and then he gets up there, and then the dwarves finally unfreeze, and they show up.
Yep.
And
we had like a two-prong fight because first they fought him and then more showed up.
Yes.
And then they had to fight more of them. And that's when the fight came out of the cave.
Yes.
And basically the gold dragon guy, he's like, you know, I'll stay here and protect the egg. You go out there and kill them.
Yeah.
And one guy gets in there and he's crawling along. And
oh, God.
Gold dragon's just like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Fire.
Yeah. Burns him to a crisp.
Good guys win.
Yennefer saves Geralt's life by stabbing the guy in the side of the head.
Yep. The gold dragon, now back in his human form, pays off the dwarves with dragon teeth.
I love to. He hands them. He's like, you could take this to the king. And they're like, dragon teeth? And he goes, I don't know if the king's going to believe it. And he goes, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You let him know that if he doesn't believe it, he can expect a dragon corpse dropped on his table at his next feast.
Free of charge.
Free of charge. Yeah. And they're like, dragon teeth it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yep.
It was a good episode.
And then Yen basically takes off. In the meantime, Ciri is walking with the fake mouse sack.
I'll tell you what, this doppelganger mouse sack doesn't waste any time saying, fuck it, I'm not him.
He really does, because he has his recent memories, but he doesn't have his early memories.
Yeah.
So basically, Ciri's like telling her buddy, Den there, she's like, no, everything's fine. And he's like, no, ask the right questions. Remember, you're not supposed to trust anybody. That's what the Dryad Queen said.
Yeah.
She's like, all right. So she talked, you know, she does the old classic TV trope where she's like, yes. Oh, remember when we used to go ice skating in your homeland and you loved it? And he's like, yeah, sure. And she's like, except you have arthritis. And you said that that's where you were born, but you, this is your home.
Yeah.
And so it's like you said, it's just like, good job.
I'm not really him.
Yeah. We killed Mousak. Yeah. We took on his stupid form and we fucking hate you.
Yeah. And they battle him. Of course, he's susceptible to silver. Dara runs off. Ciri gets tied up, and the guy becomes Ciri, and then tries to kill Dara or whatever. And
she gets taken by somebody who basically tells her, he's like, look, if I could have taken you any other way, if I could have gotten you to come here, but,
yeah.
You know, this was dire circumstances, and I need you. The White Flame has brought you to me. And he's like, his partner later on is like, oh my God, these prophecies are going to get you killed.
Yep.
Because the doppelganger shows up in his form,
yeah.
And they tussle, and then they go out into the bar.
Oh my God, yeah.
So he starts screaming. He's like, are you still here? And then we cut back to the dragon fight. And when we come back, he's murdered everybody in the bar. And she comes in and she's like, a simple silver test would have proven.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, nope, I had to kill them all.
Steel was in my hand, though.
Yeah, exactly. So he fucking straight up murdered everybody in the bar to make sure that
all kinds of innocent people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's definitely crazy. But that was the episode.
Yeah, it was good. Two episodes left?
Yep.
I'm excited about that. So you said you watched some movies?
I watched one movie. I watched Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah.
The Elton John flick. So did you see this?
I did not.
Okay. It's not really, it's hard to describe. It is a biographical pick because it's about his life, but not his whole life, just mostly kind of from childhood to 30 years ago, basically.
Okay.
You know, because it ends with 28 years later, he's still sober, you know.
Was it like Bohemian Rhapsody?
I didn't watch Bohemian Rhapsody. Okay. So this was more of a musical.
Okay.
Like, they used, like, for instance, all right, so we know Elton John's gay.
Really?
Yeah, right. So there's a scene in the movie where he is he's kind of like him and his best friend, the guy that writes the song, the lyrics to his songs, like they go to America, he plays his first show, they're at this after party at Mama Cass's house, and you know, and Elton John's kind of in love with his friend, and his friend knows he's gay and has already said, like, look, I we're friends. You're like a brother to me, but I don't love you that way. I don't feel about you that way. And you kind of see his friend kind of go off with a girl. And at this point, Elton John sings Tiny Dancer.
Oh, okay.
And so they use his music as part of the movie to tell the story you're watching. You know what I mean? And obviously, like, these songs weren't written for these specific parts, but it's like they found the right songs or found the way to tie his hit songs into the movie, into the right parts.
Gotcha.
To make to continue the story. And like when he sings Benny and the Jets, it's a part where he's all coked out, doing drugs. Like he does Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. He does that song.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's telling a story of, you know, kind of a rough part of his career, and there's lots of fighting when he was a teenager. You know, it's just the way they use the songs throughout the movie. It's definitely more of like a musical than a movie, but it's all Elton John songs than like a standard film, I mean. And it's all Elton John songs. Yeah, I thought it was done really well. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I decided to Redbox that because I kind of – Friday, Wesley was home sick, and he wanted me to sit on the couch with him, and I really couldn't do anything, and he was watching – oh, crap, like 5 hours of Peppa Pig and then Mary Poppins. And like I tried to get up from the couch to go do stuff. And he's like, no, Daddy, just stay with me. And he had a little fever, and he'd been throwing up earlier in the night. And so I kind of felt bad for the little guy. So I was just kind of watching YouTube on my laptop with my headphones on. And I kind of got sucked out. Started watching, like Jimmy Kimmel, or not Jimmy Kimmel, James Gordon,
Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah, with Elton John. And then, like, the next one that queued up was him, an interview with him and the guy that played him in the movie.
Taron Egerton?
Yeah, about what it was like, you know, meeting him and this and that. And then one with Taron about it. And then them kind of singing some of their songs together. And I was like, I actually want to watch this movie now. So that's what inspired me to go to Redbox, you know, and pick it up. So
cool.
Yeah, so I enjoyed the flick. Solid show. I give it a a good, yeah, it's enjoyable watch, especially if you like musicals.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you? Did you watch any movies?
I did not, but I did make a note that I did watch, and I shared with you, the honest trailers for every Quentin Tarantino film.
I had watched that as well. It's funny.
It was funny.
It's pretty spot on.
I never realized the foot fetish thing until watching that, and then, holy shit. And then, for them to be, like, you know, showing off all the feet that he does.
Yeah.
And then that one clip of him in one of his early movies where he's like, I have a foot fetish, it's okay. I'm like, oh, well, apparently he's okay with it.
Excuse me. Yeah.
So that was pretty decent. Number of trailers and a lot of new stuff.
You have more trailers than I do. You shared them with me.
But you shared some with me, right?
Did I?
I don't know.
I don't think
I know
so.
You shared at least one news item with me.
I shared a couple news items with you.
Yeah, go for it.
So the big one is Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Have we gotten any confirmation on that yet?
I've read it a few different places.
Okay.
So, but who knows if they're all just quoting the same source. But I'll just talk about it anyways.
Please do.
So, apparently there is two other cuts of this movie. The original film is 142 minutes. Mm-hmm. The extended cut is 192 minutes. That's 50 minutes longer.
Okay.
Then there's a middle cut that's 165 minutes. So the way I read it and the way, you know, I sent it to you and everything as well was basically like it was cut because of how people didn't like part eight and they didn't want the movie to be too long in the theaters because that's less showings they can do in a day. And they didn't want people to get discouraged to not go see it multiple times even and this and that and everything. So what they decided to do was release it with the shorter cut.
Okay.
And then like they did with Avengers Endgame. Which they re-released, which is a longer edition, remember?
Yep.
They're going to re-release this, possibly at the end of January, the 165-minute cut, a little bit longer. And then later on, when it comes out on home video or to Disney+, it's going to be the 192-minute cut. So it's like, hey, by the way, we have two more versions of this movie for you to watch. So, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Oh, I'll watch any extended versions. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to the theater for it. It depends on how much is there.
If they do the 165-minute cut in the theater, that's an additional 23 minutes.
I'd check that out.
I'd go watch it in the theaters.
Especially considering it doesn't cost me.
I actually want to go see it again already anyways.
Yeah.
Jenna shared with me today a TikTok thing, a link to TikTok. Someone had put I need a hero. Have you just – okay, that song cut to the scene of – a clip down scene of Kylo Ren showing up to help save Rey. And nice. They did it together really well. I'll show it to you after we get done. It's pretty hilarious.
Right.
And it actually made me sad that Kylo Ren was dead because he kicked so much ass in that scene.
Right.
But the one scene they have in there, of course, because you don't see Rey at all very much, but you have the scene where he reaches behind him and he pulls the lightsaber out. Badass.
That was
all the Star Wars
fucking
movies.
Amazing.
And then he just shrugs his shoulders, Alejandro, like,
yeah.
And then he starts killing people in force, using the force. And oh my god, that was so cool. But
yes.
Another bit of news I have is Zach Morris is 100% confirmed to be returning to Saved by the Bell.
You were going to say he's 100% confirmed to be a piece of shit.
No,
because I've seen the video.
He is trash.
Yes, he is trash.
However, it's also rumored that Kelly Kapowski could be back for even a couple episodes. But at least one episode is going to have the return of Zach Attack, their band.
Yeah. So still no word on Dustin Diamond or Lark Voorhees?
Well, Lark Voorhees disappeared off face of the planet.
Yeah.
And Dustin Diamond might still be in jail from stabbing a guy. I don't think we're going to see Screech again.
I don't either. But I wonder how they'll handle that. I wonder if they'll handle it with grace and dignity, or if
never
they'll be like,
know.
Screech is in jail. Screech stabbed a guy.
Yeah, Screech cut a motherfucker. I still never read his book. I kind of wanted to, because I think it's full of lies and stuff.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he stabbed a guy. Oh no, he must be out of prison now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. In 2015, he got sentenced to 4 months in prison, served 3 months, released on probation. So, and it shows that it expired in May 2016. So I guess we're good.
Okay. Screech, what have you been up to? I've done things, man.
It says here he did a movie, an episode of TV or movie called Joker's Wild, 2016.
It's a game show.
Oh, is it that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then apparently he did an episode of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell on Adult Swim.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. That was me choking on water. I was not, like, that shocked.
Sure. What do you got?
Well, I'll start with the news. A lot of interesting stuff here. I thought you just paused it.
No.
Colin Farrell is going to be the Penguin in the new Batman movie.
What?
Yeah, Colin Farrell.
Okay, no.
To Robert Pattinson's Batman. Like, I was cool with Robert Pattinson, honestly. And then they're like, Colin Farrell is going to be the Penguin. Why? While you're looking that up.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was. Am I mistaken? No. It's who he is?
No. They must be going with the Gotham version of Penguin kind of thing, I'm assuming. The CW renewed 13 shows. Basically,
yes, I sent
the Arrowverse stuff.
And, yeah, I think I sent you, like, Legends was renewed.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't you have that news that you shared with me about the...
Yeah, Fox is toying around with the idea of reviving Firefly.
They've at least said that they're open to brown coats kind of thing.
Like a brown coats of bringing it back, and, you know, if the cast is interested, this and that and everything. My favorite comment in there is the one that's like, well, we know the cast is doing other things, so if we brought it back more like the X-Files, you know, a limited series, you know, like maybe like 10 episodes. Yeah, you only aired 4 last time. Or when, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
and out of order.
Yeah, so this the first season was only 13 episodes to begin with, for crying out loud. So 10 would not be a, you know, short season. It'd be almost a complete season when it comes to Firefly. I would love it.
Yep.
I think it'd be great. I mean, I enjoy, you know, anything new Firefly. Like right now we're getting the in-canon Firefly comic book, which I got to figure out how I'm going to get that now the editor's note's closing.
Oh.
Did you see that was closing?
I didn't.
Yeah, January 29th will be the last day he gets new releases, and this shop is closed February 22nd.
How come?
I listened to his podcast, and he said that he decided to give himself 5 years to make an income. Basically be like making an income for someone who is his age and makes money, how much he should be making. And so 5 years ago, February, is when he started, you know, his work on the shop. Now, it opened 4 years ago or something, but...
Okay.
Maybe 4.5 or something like that. But, you know, it took a few months to get things off the ground and whatnot. And he's like, the shop would sustain itself based on, like, you know, his pull people coming in. You know, he makes enough that the shop runs and it doesn't. He's not losing money on the shop.
Right.
But he's not making money for himself either.
Gotcha.
He was saying that, like, basically there's only one place you can buy comic books now, like from a comic book distributor. And, you know, Marvel gives him a good rate, but, like, these other guys, like DC, I think he said, he makes 35 cents per issue. He gets 35. They give him a 35% discount. So if it's a $4 comic book or it's a $3 comic book, you know, he gets $1.05, which isn't a lot of money.
No.
You know, when he did a free comic book day, he has to pay for those.
Oh.
To give those away.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was... I get it.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess he's going to have a shit ton of sales or whatever and everything. And then that last week of February is the week he has to put the store back in order and get all his stuff out and this and that. But, like, everything's for sale. So if you like the Talk Bubble shelves he's got on his wall, make him an offer. You know, gotcha. If you need some gutters, make me an offer.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so I got to figure out where I'm going to get that Firefly comic. Oh, the other comment he made is, like, the other reason why it's kind of frustrating is, like, because he can literally go and order shit on Amazon, get it sooner, and sell it for the cover price and make more money on it than if you buy it direct from the vendor. Because like, for instance, if he was a bigger store and bought more, he'd get a bigger discount.
Right.
So Amazon, of course, gets a huge discount. So Amazon sells it for cheap. Like, this is Firefly graphic novel on the sale. I think it's $20. But you can buy it on Amazon right now for, like, $13.50. So he could buy it on Amazon for $13.50 and then sell it to me for $20 and make more money off that than he would if he bought it from the distributor. So it's almost like, oh, that okay, yeah, there's something is fucked up in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So now for us, the closest comic book shops are Waterville and Freeport, which are both about a half hour plus drive. So it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, I would love it if they brought back some more Firefly TV shows.
Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows and Fargo are both returning in April.
Oh, Fargo's in April?
Yeah.
Nice.
You need to watch What We Do in the Shadows. Like, this is not like a, oh, you'd really like it. You need to fucking watch this show.
That's very threatening of you.
Oh, it is. Let's make that the contingency upon me helping you out with HBO, okay? Like, dead serious. This is going to be one of those shows that you watch it, you're going to be like, dude, I can't believe I wasn't watching this all along. It's all on Hulu.
Yeah, it
is. You can watch every episode. They're 20 minutes long each. There's like 10 of them.
So they're not threatening, yeah.
No. Second season is coming in April. Mark Hamill is going to be in it.
That's true, yeah. Plenty of time to watch between now and then.
Yeah, legitimately. Like, this show is great. Season 4 of Fargo, though,
yeah,
is the first one that's not going to take place in Dakota. It says the fourth season stars Chris Rock, who plays the head of a crime syndicate made up of black migrants fleeing the Jim Crow South, who have a contentious relationship with the Kansas City Mafia.
Huh.
Set in 1950 Kansas City, Missouri. It's going to have some familiar faces of – oh, crap. Where did it go? Hmm. Oh, there it goes. Jason Schwartzman, Jesse Buckley, Ben Whishaw, and Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, nice. I like Timothy Oliphant.
Yep. More news. Nicholas Holt. Do you know who that is?
Isabel.
He played Beast in the newer X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's been in Warm Bodies and Tolkien.
Yep.
He's going to be joining Mission Impossible 7 and 8.
They're making more of those.
They are.
Huh, interesting.
Dude, it's Tom Cruise. He will never allow them to. He's making another Top Gun movie.
We saw the trailer of that, and I thought the trailer looked good.
Yes, you did. American Horror Story is getting 3 more seasons.
Get the fuck out of here.
This has been a weird week for people announcing renewals. New Amsterdam.
Yeah. Okay,
we're on the second season right now. They just renewed it for the next 3 seasons.
What?
Season 3, 4, and 5 have just been confirmed for New Amsterdam.
I don't think it's that good.
Yeah. It's I can't believe it. The director of Doctor Strange, who was until recently going to direct Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, dropped out, citing creative differences with Marvel Studios.
Hmm. Speaking of Marvel Studios, real quick, did you see that Hawkeye has been put on indefinite?
Yeah, some weird stuff's going on over there. Yeah. I mean, this guy did the first Doctor Strange, did a really good job.
Yeah, he did.
And now, in the middle of this, he's just like, no, I'm leaving. Creative difference.
Well, remember, help me out here.
Okay.
He was going to do the next Thor Guardians movie, and now he is.
Oh, James Gunn.
Yeah, James Gunn.
Yeah, but he was fired.
But still,
yeah,
back.
Yep.
After he does the new Suicide Squad, apparently.
Yes. This was a weird one to read.
Shit, what was I going to look up to tell you about?
I don't know. I've been talking about the Mission Impossible movies and Top Gun. And
yeah. Oh, keep going. I remember now.
Okay. Seth MacFarlane is leaving Fox and headed over to NBC.
What's that mean for a Family Guy?
I don't know. Considering that all the Fox properties are now owned by Disney, maybe his days were numbered anyway. But apparently NBC made him a good offer to come do stuff on Peacock. And so he's taking his talents over there.
I wonder if that's another reason why Orville went to Hulu.
Could be. But he's still working, so that's a good thing. Picard has already been renewed for season 2.
I mean, I'm excited, but it's just like...
Again, they've already got the people. They've already got the sets. They know it's going to be good. It's fucking Picard. And they actually... I'll read you this. The executive producer, Alex Kurtzman, cleared up any confusion at the TCA Winter Press Tour panel for the show. We are in the prime timeline, he explained. Events from the Kelvin timeline, which is the new Star Trek movies.
Yes.
You know, with Chris Pine. Events from the Kelvin timeline impacted Picard. But if you look at that movie, the destruction of Romulus was in the prime timeline. It is what enabled the Kelvin timeline jump to happen. So that is very consistent with canon.
Huh.
So basically, Picard will be taking place in the normal. Kirk was there, had his dad, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, the normal Star Trek timeline.
Okay.
So people should be very happy about that. The NBC was on a bit of a junket. There was a lot of stuff going on recently where different shows were announcing, or different networks were announcing different shows. NBC's Peacock is already set to rely heavily on nostalgia with planned Punky Brewster and Saved by the Bell shows, which we know. As
the Battlestar Galactica show.
Yeah, yeah. But it might not stop there. Program strategy head Jeff Bader told Slash Film that the broadcaster is considering a revival of Quantum Leap.
Ooh
is right. With today's technology and our better understanding of
quantum technology. Is it going to be, I wonder if it's going to be like a reboot, new actors, new characters, or we're going to get Scott Bakula back in there. Sam Beckett.
I don't know. He just said he didn't know how likely the show was. He just noted that everyone is discussing it. Okay. Uncharted. It's a game series for that Sony has done. Well, Naughty Dog has done for Sony PlayStation. It's had four main games, a couple of offshoots. It's an Indiana Jones kind of thing, but with a sexier, younger kind of guy, mm-hmm. Nathan Drake. Mm-hmm. They've gone through six directors now trying to make a film out of this game. The games themselves are films, essentially. You know, they're you play the game, but you're playing through a film. It's linear. You go through one area. You don't go back later on. It's not open world. Mm-hmm. So you're watching a movie unfold as you're playing this game. And then you're directing parts of it. Six directors. At this point, I would say just stop. You know, at one point, Tom Holland was going to be a young Nathan Drake. At one point, Mark Wahlberg was going to be Nathan Drake. They just need to stop. I'm telling you right now. The Uncharted games are great, but not at this headache level. Hmm. Like, nobody's going to want to see what comes out now if they're on their seventh director.
Yeah, no.
No. Sci-Fi announced that they've got a new TV series coming. They've got a couple of them, actually. One of them is going to be Child's Play.
I've heard about that for quite a while.
Sci-Fi's statement laid out the series premise. A vintage Chucky doll is found at a yard sale, and the inevitable murderin, this is literally from the press release, murderin, apostrophe, yep. that ensues, terrorizes an idyllic American town while exposing its hypocrisies and secrets. Several characters from Chucky's past, friends and foes alike, show up to expose the truth of the killings, unwinding the secrets of Chucky's origin in the process. So this is based on the original Chucky story.
Yeah, not the new one we just got.
Yeah.
Which, actually, this new one we just got was good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Of the new reboot movie?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Don Mancini, who did Hannibal, which apparently is a phenomenal show.
Yeah.
He's the show's executive producer. And he also has David Kirshner, producer of the original Child's Play, aboard as a producer. So that'll be kind of cool. Although it's on Sci-Fi, so the murderin' is going to be a little bit tamer. But think about what they did with Blood Drive.
Oh, yeah, no, the murderin' may not be tame at all.
Yeah. There's also a Silence of the Lambs TV series coming that'll be based on Clarice.
Oh, okay.
But they said that it's not going to be her time with Hannibal Lecter. They haven't specified whether it's going to be before or after, but the whole thing is going to focus on Clarice. There's another show coming to Sci-Fi called The League of Pan. Sorry, my nose is starting to stuff up here. So
it's okay.
Now grown up and estranged, Wendy Darling and the Lost Boys must return to Neverland to face a new evil that threatens the very existence of the magical place they once called home, reigniting bitter rivalries and unearthing twisted secrets from their past. The fantastical series explores the painful truths of growing up and the realization that going home is never quite as simple as you think.
Yeah, no, who cares?
I think it's going to be terrible, yeah. Honestly. The 2020 Oscar nominations are out. I don't fucking care.
Well, actually, that's what I wanted to look up real quick. I don't want to talk about all of them, but I do want to talk about... I think it's interesting that Best Picture always has, like, 27,000 nominees now, but it's got Ford vs. Ferrari,
yeah.
The Irishman, mm-hmm. Jojo Rabbit,
yeah.
Joker,
yeah.
Little Woman, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. Parasite was also nominated for Best Foreign Film, so I'm kind of I don't think I've ever heard that happening before.
Right.
Two Netflix original movies are up for Best Picture, which is huge because people still relate the Oscars with the movies or going to the movies.
Right.
Jojo Rabbit was a surprise. I haven't seen it yet, but like,
it's Taika Waititi.
It doesn't seem like a movie that would be a Best Picture nominee.
Right. Yeah. I really wanted to see it, and I missed it while it was at Regal, Railroad Square.
1917. I'm still surprised. I mean, it's.
Have you been to see it yet?
No.
Okay.
Hopefully this Saturday.
Okay.
But I'm still surprised that this has got nominated, won the Golden Globe for Best Picture, nominated for Best Picture for an Oscar. It literally just got in the theaters. Like, how is it even eligible?
I know.
It didn't.
I think it's because of the early release
window. The Christmas Day release, so it technically qualifies.
Yeah.
But, and of course, you know, Joker got the most nominations with 11.
Yeah.
And I told my wife tonight, I'm like, that movie's garbage. I said, I don't like it. John doesn't like it. There's a bunch of people that do like it. I get it. But I have no interest in it.
No.
And my wife asked, well, did he do a good job as the character?
Yes.
And I said, absolutely.
He did a good job as that character.
I'll give Joaquin Phoenix, he threw himself into this role of Arthur Fleck.
Yep.
He did a great job as him. He acted well in this movie. And if he wins the Academy Award for Best Actor because he was nominated, I could actually agree with it.
Yep.
However, the movie itself I thought was garbage.
Yep.
I didn't like the storyline. I didn't like what they did with the Joker character. There was so much of this movie I didn't like.
I think it's interesting that two of the nominees for Best Picture are movies that I panned. Not to say that I matter anything right. In the grand scheme of things, but I didn't like Joker at all, and I didn't like Marriage Story at all.
Which is funny, because for Best Actor, Adam Driver and Joaquin Phoenix were both nominated.
Again, just like with Joker,
yeah.
Adam Driver did a great job acting in that movie. I mean, he was good.
And Best Actress, Scarlett Johansson got nominated for Marriage Story.
Yeah.
For Best Director, we got Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes, 1917, Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, and Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm going to have to check out Parasite because...
I'm going to have to watch Parasite.
The trailers looked awful. I didn't want to see it, but everyone is just saying how unbelievable it is. I video game podcasts that I listen to, they're like, you have to watch this movie. It's so fucking good. So
I mean, Parasite... So... to not completely break it all the way down, but like Joker got 11 nominations, Irishman 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood got 10. Jojo Rabbit, Little Woman, Marriage Story, and Parasite all got 6. Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker got 3, but I'm guessing that's for
like visual effects,
editing, and effects, and
score.
Things of that nature. So, best makeup and hairstyle, Joker. I got nominated. Excuse me. Parasite got nominated for 6. That was surprising. Rise of Skywalker got nominated for Best Sound Editing. Best Original Score. And I can't see the one jumping out at me right away, so whatever. Any other news?
Two pieces of news and then a couple of trailers.
All right.
NBC has ordered a brand new sitcom.
Yep.
I had to read this like 4 or 5 times, and then I saved the article because I wanted to make sure it wasn't a joke.
Sure.
It's based on the life of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really?
A sitcom. If you were ever interested in what the Brahma Bull was like as a teenager, this is your chance. The network has ordered an 11-episode straight-to-series sitcom called Young Rock. Comes courtesy of Fresh Off the Boat creator, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, and Dwayne Johnson himself. The initial run will consist of 11 episodes and is set to be a single-camera comedy. Fans of the Hobbs and Shaw actor will be pleased to know that Dwayne Johnson will be appearing in each episode as well. I'm anticipating Johnson interview blah, blah, blah. Why?
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I love The Rock. I think he's great. I think he's really become like an icon of modern cinema. But an 11-episode single-camera sitcom based on his teenage years? Who the fuck came up with this idea? And why was The Rock like, sure, I'll do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
The only other news that I had this week is pretty major.
Okay.
I shared this with you to see what your response would be. A lot of people are having very polarizing responses to this piece of news.
Okay.
Kind of came out of left field. It's big. Regal is switching to Pepsi from Coke.
Yeah, I saw that. My first reaction was, no more of those Coke short films.
You said that, and I'm like, yeah, good point.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm not going to be allowed to drink soda after next month. And I've found a new love in Coke Zero and Diet Pepsi. 5 years ago, Mike, though, all happy as shit.
Oh, 5 years ago, Mike would have been, like, squealing. He would have been like, we won!
Yeah, because I'm a Pepsi fan over Coke.
It's a big thing. Like,
it really is. I mean, Coke is huge in the South. Pepsi is more popular in the Northeast, which is hilarious because Pepsi came out of North Carolina. You know what I mean?
Right.
To the point where, like, up here, like, every tissue is a Kleenex. Well, down in the South, every soda is a Coke. Can I get a Pepsi Coke? Can I get a Dr. Pepsi Coke? You know, like, but yeah, no, that's pretty, it is huge news.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because, fucking think about it. Like, how much did Pepsi pay to get that contract?
I don't know. And it's been for so many years. Like,
yeah.
I've only ever known. Now, granted, like, Flagship's
always had Pepsi.
Yep.
But that's a local chain. Well, New England, even broader than New England.
Regal is national.
Yeah, Regal's a national chain that's always, even when it was Hoyt Cinema, it had Coke.
Yes.
My biggest gripe has always been my whole life going to the movies in Augusta, rather be State Street Cinema or Hoyt's or Regal, whatever you want to call it, Coke.
Yep. So this is huge.
I would
love to know what happened.
Yeah. What did other people say you told this to?
Oh, people. Nobody that I really told it to, but the responses online were pretty damning. Most people were not happy. But people love to complain online anyway.
I know. Fucking, yeah.
So trailers.
Trailers.
I didn't share this one with you because I couldn't remember if you watched the series or not. Sex Education Season 2.
Yeah?
Did you watch that show? Sex Education? The one with the... Gillian Anderson was the...
Oh, I watched a few episodes. I just didn't really get into it.
I liked it. Yeah. Season 2 looks great. There's a show I watched a trailer for, and it's going to be on Apple TV Plus, so I'll never get to see it, but it looks really cool. It's called Mythic Quest Raven's Bounty. It's from the guys who did It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it's basically the office for a game development studio.
Huh, okay.
And it looks funny as shit, but again, it's Apple Plus TV. I'll never...
Yeah, yeah.
Lock and Key.
That looks great.
And apparently there was a website at the end of the trailer that said, you know, the father is dead or something like that. And if you followed that, then it showed you the opening scene of the series. I didn't want to watch it.
I was like, fuck
that. I want to watch the show.
No, I got to say, that Lock and Key trailer looked really, really good.
Yeah, it's based on a comic series.
Yeah.
Similarly, October Faction.
Again, that looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they go around the world and they hunt monsters. I was reading a little bit of the synopsis, and apparently, like, the father of the family, his dad dies, so they have to go back to this town and hunt some monsters, but kind of keep it low-key that they're in a secret organization that the kids are dealing with at school. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Westworld Season 3.
Yeah, it comes back in March, which initially I was like, holy crap, already? And then I went, oh, wait, no, that's been 2 years, so it's kind of on target.
I really liked the way that this trailer was set up. It was talking about anomalies in the timeline, and it started right off with November 19th of this past year, the impeachment of the 45th president of the United States, jumps up to like May 20th of this year and talks about Indonesia has a global catastrophe, and then it's going through all these different anomalies, and they're like, but we found a way to fix it. However, this place was working for one person until recently, and then it shows that there's a big anomaly that happened in 2058, which is apparently when Westworld takes place. So that's cool.
That is cool.
I can't wait for that to come back.
I'm looking forward to that.
And then the final trailer was one that I just shared today that kind of shocked me, which was Morbius.
Yeah, that shocked me. I gotta shit on it real quick.
Good.
When it opens up and it's like from the studio that brought you Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Venom. Well, no shit. All three Marvel movies that you brought us, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, did you like the look of it?
I don't know.
I did.
I kind of did, but I'm watching the trailer and I'm just like, you know, it made me feel like we're going to see a whole shit ton of movie before we actually see him as Morbius.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to get to know this character and
it's
build
like,
up.
We're going
to
watch, like, it's going to be a 2-hour flick, and the first 90 minutes is going to, then we're going to see Morbius the last 30. So it's like, oh, this whole movie was nothing more than a setup towards the next movie. We see Michael Keaton a little bit at the end of the trailer.
Which fucking made it for me. That was the best part of the trailer
But
for me.
They didn't imply who he is. Is he going to be...
He's Toomes. He's Adrian Toomes.
Yeah,
he's got to be Adrian
Toomes. Yeah, I felt like he had to be.
And the coolest part about that is that that was a Spider-Man Homecoming villain.
Yes.
Which was the joint between the MCU and Sony. Yeah. And, you know, we had that whole thread earlier when Spider-Man's coming back. So, yeah, the fact that they're keeping that alive in their trailer, fuck yeah, dude. I'll check the shit out of this.
I'll watch the movie. I actually enjoyed the comics.
Yeah.
I just, my thought was like, fuck, if we have a 2-hour movie and it's 90 minutes until we finally see Morbius.
Right. Right. No, fair enough.
It's called Morbius.
Right. But speaking of which, I have to say, because I had messaged you earlier this week about this, I watched all 3 episodes of Dracula on Netflix.
Yes. And it was funny because you had said after watching the first, like, hour of the first episode, you're like,
yep.
And then your comment after watching all 3 is?
Definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
But only if you're going to watch all 3 of them. And it's funny because I had given the same rundown to my sister.
Yeah.
Like I had told her, you know, the first hour was, and she came back to me and she's like, Jesus, it was right out of the book. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Then she had a complaint about the show and she was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she went off on this complaint. She hasn't finished the show yet.
Yeah.
And her complaint is directly addressed at the end of the 3rd episode.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to see when she finishes this show what exactly her response is then. Because she was like, they do this, they do this, they do this. And I'm just sitting there trying not to smile because I'm like, yeah, and then they're going to flip it on you in the last episode. I won't talk about it yet. I think you should check it out.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to discuss it with you. But, yeah, if anybody's wondering, watch it. But commit to watching all 3 episodes. Really sit down. There's a twist at the end of the 2nd episode that's going to make you want to watch the 3rd episode even more anyways. So,
anything else?
I think that just leaves us with Doctor Who.
All right, so we're going to talk about Doctor Who now. If you don't want to hear about it, then listen later on. Otherwise, we'll talk to you next week.
When you say that, it reminds me of In Living Color. Wrote a song about it. Like
here you go. That senator, you don't care about no woman. Give you the first man who dressed in leather. Ah, thank you very much. They were all consenting adults. Mr. Calhoun Tubbs or Tibbs or something like that.
God, I missed that show.
I do too, actually.
They couldn't get away with that today.
No. God, it's like, I forgot to talk about this. I watched that Live in Living Color, whatever it is. Like back in May, they did the episode of the Jeffersons and All in the Family.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Live in front of a studio
audience. Yes. And then this past, right before Christmas, they did an episode of All in the Family and Good Times.
Yes.
And the Good Times episode wasn't very good.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the All in the Family episode was excellent. Kevin Bacon was in it, actually, as a star. But what do you hear else is Archie Bunker is great. Marissa Tomei as Edith is great. Yeah, the All in the Family episode was really good again. Like, I hope they do it again. They do another All in the Family, but I don't want to see Good Times. Come up with another Norman Lear show or something. But,
gotcha.
Yeah, it was. They're both kind of politically driven. The first one, a local old politician who's an old guy, one half wants to vote for, and then the other half of the family wants to vote for the new young up and comer. What was really cool is the actor that played the dad in Good Times in the original run played the old man politician in this. So was cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, they had JJ there and then a couple of the actors, like, come in, like, between the episodes and be like, oh, hey, look who's here, you know.
Right.
And then the All in the Family episode was an episode about a guy who, it's a Christmas episode and one of Mike's friends who was a draft dodger for Vietnam War and went to Canada. He came home because his dad's sick or he just had to see his family or whatever. And so he ends up having dinner with the bunkers there. And Archie's friend comes over whose son died in Vietnam.
Oh,
and of course it comes up that, and what the hell? The kid that was in Zombieland, what's his name?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah. He played Michael's friend there, the draft
doctor. I feel like we could do, like, the $100,000 pyramid.
Probably. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed the All in the Family episode. Cool. Yeah. It was funny because we watched it on Hulu after the fact and they beeped out a word and I had to figure out what it was because Jimmy Kimmel there does say, you know, this is the original script. We didn't change the wording in it. And they actually had a warning on before, you know, and I thought, oh, we're going to use the N-word again like they did in the last episode. And it wasn't. It's the derogatory slang word for a Chinese person.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
But anyhow, episode 3, season 12, Orphan 55. Does it feel weird that Doctor Who's back? Like, it came back with no fanfare.
Yeah.
No build, no fanfare.
All we knew was that we were getting a New Year's Day episode.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh, and this is the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's just kind of like, oh, shit. All right, cool.
So Orphan 55, written by the same guy who gave us, and I can't remember the name of it, but the episode 11 of last season, which was the one in Norway where there was the dimensional gate to the other world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the doctor found an entire universe that wanted to be her friend.
Yes.
Phenomenal episode.
Oh, yes, it was.
So that guy wrote this episode, too.
So this episode, the Doctor, Ryan, Yaz, and Grandma are transported to a Tranquility Spa, which is they call it a vacation.
Yep. That's fake vacation.
Yeah. It's a facility built in a dome on a desolate orphan world, but we don't know that at first. We find that out later.
But not that much later, though.
No, not that much later.
Usually with these episodes, like, we get a little bit of fun in the sun or, you know, and then things start to build up. No, like, from the moment they land there, they're, like, getting attacked.
And with this shit, like, story of Ryan gets a hopper virus, which is a virus that can infect a computer or a living organism or whatever it is, and it just...
And it hops from thing to thing.
Yeah, it can hop from thing to thing. It's hence called a hopper, and it just takes on whatever form it hops into.
Yep. Mutates the DNA and destroys them.
So the doctor, of course, gets that out of Ryan, and then...
In a very doctory way. Like, grabs his ear, and she's like, you're going to sneeze, and he sneezes into the bag of chips. She's like, okay, I got it.
But it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah.
I hated this
episode. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
For one thing, I thought it was rushed.
Like, the whole episode did feel rushed from beginning to end. Absolutely.
It felt like it could have been a two-part episode.
Yes, I agree with that.
And then at the very end, so the whole thing is, you know, oh, what's the monster? Oh, well, no, we get the monster, like, right off. Like, within 10 minutes, we've got the monster, and we see what it is.
Essentially, they find out, okay, this is an orphan planet.
Which means that...
It's an orphan planet. Means a planet that has no life on it.
No, low life can be sustained from some kind of...
catastrophic event.
Yep.
People evacuated the planet. Those who couldn't got left behind.
Yep. So it's an orphan planet. The monster is what was left behind. They're dregs, they're called.
They call them the dregs, but the monster is like whatever was left behind and how they were mutated because of the new planet they're on.
And instead of taking in oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide, these ones take in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen.
Yeah. And the sun is very harmful to you. And there's, like, no vegetation, I guess. And so this woman built this vacation spa on this planet because, well, they don't fly to the planet. You transport in and out via, you know, a teleportation device. And, you know, there's a special shield and this and that. Well, someone's sabotaging the place. And the virus gets in and the shield goes down. And the dregs make entry and start killing all the guests. Like, all the guests.
Yeah. Which they all die off screen, but still.
Yeah, everyone that dies off screen. A lot of people sacrifice themselves.
A lot of people. Yeah. I felt like we were watching that crappy House of the Dead movie.
Yeah, we get that old couple, like old couple where the
Benny woman, and
yeah, where he's going to propose to her, but the Yaz blocks up so he doesn't. And then.
If this wasn't all off camera, it would have been a lot more heartbreaking, but basically he's being dragged around by the dregs.
Yes.
And they're outside the transport vehicle that has been broken down. You know, the dregs took care of it.
See, okay, well, to get there, the doctor gets everyone who's alive to get to the linen closet, which is a kind of a secure facility area where they have the cameras and weapons and everything like that. The dregs can't get in there. And they find out that Betty's missing and that
because he stopped to pick up her hat.
Yeah, and he got grabbed by the dregs, but they didn't kill him. Instead, they took him outside of the dome. But because he's on portable oxygen, he can still breathe.
Right.
So they go to rescue him in this truck that's out there. And now we get to the point where...
It's broken down. The dregs have him out there. And you hear him talking through the truck.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hello, are you in there? And he's like, I've got two questions for you. number one,
yeah,
will you marry me? And she's like, yes, of course,
Benny,
I will.
Of course, I love you.
Great. She's like, what's the second question? And there's just like this dead air pause for like, I'd say a minute. And then he goes, would somebody please kill me?
Yeah. And yeah.
And then the boss lady there does. But again, it's off camera.
Well, but no, but that's it. Okay, well, all right. No. That, the way she delivers the message is the coldest,
that's worst what I'm saying.
Way humanly possible. Her name's Kane, I think.
Yeah.
And so Kane and her friend, man friend, whatever, associate.
Hyphen with a three.
Well, no, but the associate who also has guns.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to hold off the drag so everyone can run to this escape pod area.
Yeah.
And she gets thrown, though, and then they find her, and then her man gets killed off screen, and Hyphen gets dragged away or at some point, and they run to this escape hatch, and they go down in this tunnel system, and they're down there, and she's like, wait, where's Benny? Did you see him? Oh, yes, I did. And I killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I did. And don't worry, I killed him.
She's like, what?
Oh, well, he asked me to. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just very matter of fact about it.
Yeah. It was bad. And then that's when the doctor finds out that they're like, hey, is that Russian? This says we're in Siberia. And essentially we find out that Orphan 55, this planet we're on, is Earth, but it's in the future.
Yep.
Undisclosed time frame in the future.
Right.
And that
the dregs are the leftover humans.
That this is what they became.
Yep. So then they decide to go back to the escape vehicle.
Yeah.
And then they decide to go from the escape vehicle back to the dome.
Yeah.
To activate the teleporter, because the teleporters are programmed to send you back exactly where you came from. So everybody can be sent back.
Yeah.
So
there's another character on the episode, Ryan's love interest, this woman, this girl who's there. First she says she's a hotel inspector, and then she's like, well, I don't really have a job. And the long and the short of it, it's Kane's daughter, whose father died, and Kane doesn't even recognize her own daughter. And so she's there to burn the motherfucker down.
Yeah, to take revenge on this mother who abandoned her and didn't come to dad's funeral.
And essentially, she's the one that put in the virus, weakened the system, did all this other stuff to it.
Yeah, we're just going to let it all pass that this girl is responsible for the murder, death, kill of all of these people.
And Ryan with a gun.
Yeah.
Set bombs that took down parts of the facility.
Just because she has mommy issues.
Essentially. And Kane at one point sacrificed herself to save the doctor and others, but she shows up at the end.
And then her daughter cries. She's like, I didn't want her to.
There's another guy that works there, him and his son. This guy's supposed to be the town mechanic, but his son knows he's bad at his job, but his son's excellent at it.
Yeah.
So they use that hopper virus thing to turn like Polygram 3 to Polygram 4 so they can get the thing running, and they're gonna, and they send the guy and his son off, and then Kane shows up and saves her daughter, and then now the daughter's gonna stay behind with her mom and you know, our fearsome foursome, they get sent back to the TARDIS.
Oh, let's not forget, too, that the dregs adapt to combat. So they have to use modulating laser cannons. The doctor's like, you'd only have to do that if they, you know, adapted to your attacks. Oh, but they do. So they're adaptable. There was this whole scene where the doctor, like, ran into a cage because the alpha dreg chased her in there, and she's like, oh, I just sealed off this room, and now it's gonna, you know, right now we're perfect balance because we're exuding carbon dioxide and you're exuding oxygen, so we're helping each other, but if you kill us, you will die and you will suffocate. And so he, like, can't talk but agrees to swap places with them and stay in the cage while they escape.
Yeah.
So now we're at the end. They get sent back to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And we get a political speech.
Yeah, okay, this is one part I didn't like.
Where basically the doctor tells them that, you know, you were given warnings by every scientific person. Global warming is coming and you're going to destroy the planet, which you and I have watched enough Doctor Who to see that future Earth does not look like this.
Right.
And she even says, it's one possible timeline. People can still change. Yeah. If people get out there and try to save the planet, then they can't. I'm like, dude, keep your fucking political.
Yeah, that's one thing I did not like at all.
I didn't like it at all. Not only that, but hey, how many times have we watched the Doctor take his TARDIS, which can go through time and space, and rescue people?
Right.
Why didn't he go back and rescue Kane and the daughter?
Yeah, I thought she was going to do that.
I did too.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually expecting it because that's what the Doctor does. And then they just ended the episode.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that as well.
Now, for me, the whole episode felt rushed. It was very political at the end.
Yeah.
There was, like, the surprise twist wasn't even a surprise twist to me. It was.
See, now you're making me think, like, yeah, I guess it really wasn't a good episode.
I'm not trying to convince you of that.
No.
Next week's episode, though?
With Tesla.
Nikola Tesla.
Yeah. Nikola Tesla's Tales of Terror or some shit like
that. Yeah, and the Doctor, she's like, oh, too bad you're a fraud and a liar.
Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror.
Hopefully that'll be cool. Yeah, this episode just, it didn't do anything for me, unfortunately, because I loved Spyfall Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
It was so good, I was excited. And then the, like I said, the guy that wrote this was the one who gave us that awesome one.
So, looking at this, and they have episodes lined up through episode 10.
Okay.
Which is, they're showing the episode are numbered like 288A, 288B, so they can only do two-parters.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, we have 290 is next week, and then 91, 92, 93, 94, and then 95A, 95B.
Okay.
Which would give it 10 episodes for the season. And then 296 is listed as special.
Oh.
And there's no date. It just says 2020.
Okay. Maybe so, it's Christmas special.
Well, are there going to be 10 episodes in the season, perhaps?
Probably.
I wonder how many season episodes we get last season.
I thought we got 11 or 12.
Last season, we got 10.
Okay.
And then a special on January 1st, 2019 called Resolution. Oh, wow. So it has been over a year. Mm-hmm. Because we got the special on January 1st, 2019, then we didn't get an episode for exactly 1 year.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I still love Doctor Who, so.
Oh, I do too.
I know Absolutely. You do. Yeah, I know you don't have any.
I'm the one that was convincing you to get into it. So.
Oh, yeah, no.
Even though you had seen it earlier in life than I had.
I watched the original Doctor Who series in this house, actually, which is hilarious to me. I still get all jazzed up with the opening theme.
Mm.
So. And my new space pinball themed tattoo. I have a TARDIS on my arm now.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And the Death Star. All right, that's it. Well, go ahead. Now what?
Oh, no. It's just.
Oh, yeah. Cool. All right. So we will talk to you next week. Maybe we'll watch The Manifest. Maybe not.
Yeah. But I will say that we'll have episode 7 of The Witcher. We'll have episode 3 of You, season 2.
Yep.
And we'll have the completion of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Ooh, are we going to get both episodes?
Yeah, back-to-back, same night.
I thought this... Oh, it is on this week, later this week. Okay.
14th.
Yeah. Cool. And tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it is tomorrow. Yep.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll have other stuff to talk about, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. All right, until then, adios. Oh, yeah, on Twitter, I'm
just waiting now. I'm the Quantum Geek 233K.